Ask you to turn to number 312, the single verse of I'll Be a Friend to Jesus. The first verse, I'll Be a Friend to Jesus, 312. They tried my Lord and Master with no one to
God, who reigns from heaven above, continues to shine his love upon us, continues to bless us, and continues to love us, and he's long-suffering to us. A God like that, we ought to praise him at all times. And so especially on this morning, we have come to this place to offer unto him the sacrifice of our praise. We're reminded of the conversation that Jesus had with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, as he was discussing the idea of worship unto him. He said that the Father was seeking those that would worship him in spirit and in truth. And he says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so I trust that all of us this morning then have our hearts and our minds set upon our Heavenly Father, set upon Jesus Christ, and for all that he has done for us in our lives. I want to thank all who have come this morning. I want to thank especially those who have visited with us, as Brother Hall has extended the welcome to us all this morning. Certainly, if you're visiting with us, we count you as on yes. We would love to have you fill out a visitor's card. We'd like to have a record of your attendance with us on this day. And if there's any way that we can help you stay with us today, even more enjoyable, let's let us know, and if it's within our power and within the realms of God's will, we will strive to do our utmost to make your stay enjoyable with us. Number 125 has been announced as our song of invitation this morning. The title of that song is Do You Know My Jesus? And I trust this morning that if you do not know Jesus, that is, in the pardon of your sins, have not given your life to him, that you'll want to do that before it's everlasting and eternally too late. And if we do know Jesus, I trust that we will continue to know him. And to know him is to love him. To know him is to allow his words to abide in our lives. He has said that when we do his will, when we keep his commandments, that he and his Father will come in and abide in us. And I believe all of us this morning ought to want Jesus and God abiding in us. And so then, as we look at our lesson then for this morning that we want to be encouraged from, we thank Brother Anderson for reading 11 verses of Luke chapter 5. We'll be talking about some of those verses, but specifically, we want to talk about a particular statement in there that Peter made as he encountered Jesus in this particular situation. So in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11 are the verses under consideration. These verses give to us one account, and of course there are other accounts in the gospel, of Jesus calling his disciples. But we have at least three here, Peter, James, and John, that are named in this account. These would be some of the first ones that Jesus would call as his disciples, who would later on and go and become his apostles. Now, these would be the ones whom he would entrust the gospel into their hands to spread to the world. To do this, first of all, they'd have to be taught by him, and we know from our Bible study that he worked with these men for some 3 years, training them for their role as disciples and for their roles as apostles. And in training them, one of the first things that he even mentions and teaches, one of the first ideas, should I say, that he mentions in these scriptures this morning that we have read, is that there is a certain mindset that one has to have, or that they would have to have, to be these apostles, to be these disciples. And so after 3 years, of course, we realize that Matthew records in Matthew chapter 28, in verse number 18, he says, "All power in heaven and in earth is given unto me." He says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever thou hast commanded, I have commanded thee." And then he says, "Lo, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the world." And so when we go back to Luke chapter 5, talking about this certain mindset, this certain mindset was displayed by Simon Peter during this conversation with Jesus. And as we fast forward into the 21st century in which we're living now, the same mindset that Peter displayed back then need to be displayed in every disciple, every follower of Jesus Christ. We must have this mindset if we are going to be successful in accomplishing the task that is set before us. So I want to encourage us then from this idea this morning. When we look in the scripture again in Luke chapter 5 and verse number 5, the latter part there, particularly the whole verse, says again, as I read it for emphasis, "And Simon answered, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless," he says, "at thy word, I will let down the net." I'm talking this morning about nevertheless Christians. Nevertheless, Christians. That's the mindset that I am putting forth to us this morning, that we need to be Christians. We need to be people that have a nevertheless mindset. Well, before we talk about this mindset of Peter that he displayed, let's look first of all about the mindset of the people that had gathered there at the Sea of Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee. Notice what the Bible says in Luke chapter 5 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. You notice something about their mindset. Number one, they pressed upon him. In other words, they came close to him. Basically, the word press means to crowd. So they came close to him. You know, if I could say something lovely this morning, they weren't like the people sitting all the way at the back. They were coming close to Jesus. Why were they coming close to Jesus? Because the Bible goes on and says, to hear. They didn't want to miss a thing, Frank. They wanted to hear. You see, he didn't have a PA system. So they wanted to be close to him so they could hear what he had to say. That's a great mindset to have, to want to hear the word of God. Why should we want to hear the word of God? Because it is the word of God and only the word of God that will save our souls. It is the word of God that will do us some good in the life which we now live. You know, it'll be wonderful. Even if there were no heaven to go to, if we would just live by the word of God, how wonderful life would be. But since there is a heaven to go to, then we ought to want to live by the word of God to enjoy even the life in which we live now. You see, there's joy to be experienced even now. And even more so, to end up going to heaven. So these people had a great mindset. The Bible said they crowded Jesus. They pressed upon him to hear the word of God. This shows that they had a great interest in what God had to say. Many people today have no interest in what God has to say. That's why they go and do what they want to do. They live like they want to live, because they have no interest in what God has to say. It reminds me of Cornelius. Y'all remember him? The man that Peter was sent to preach the gospel. When he got to the man's house, the man said this in Acts chapter 10 and verse 33. The Bible says, immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. And he says, now, therefore, are we all here present before God to do what? Hear some things? Oh, all things. No, some folks want to hear some things, but some folks don't want to hear some other things. But he says, we don't want to just hear some things, we want to hear all things. In other words, don't hold anything back. I remember what Paul says when he was on his way to Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 20, he says, I have kept nothing back that was profitable unto you. So then, they wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. They didn't want to hear all that the Lord had commanded them. Evidently, it was something about Jesus and his teaching that they truly wanted to hear. He must have been evidently different in his teaching that they were used to hearing. It reminds me when he had ended his sayings in that great sermon that was called the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. The Bible says in verse number 28 and 29, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Why? For he taught as one having authority and not as the scribes. It was something unique, something special about Jesus' teaching. No one of these people pressed upon him, crowded him to hear what he had to say. Oh, yes. Oh, if everybody today had that same attitude, if they had that same mindset. But again, as I've said, unfortunately, most people are interested in everything else but the true word of God. But you know, that just didn't happen today. It happened way back yonder, even among God's people. In Isaiah chapter 30, notice what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse number 8 beginning. He says, now go and do what? Write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. What does he want them to know? That this is a rebellious people. Go back to verse number, go on to verse number 9. That this is a rebellious people. Lying children. Children that will what?
Not hear
the law of the Lord. He's not talking about Gentile folks. He's talking about church folks. He's talking about Christians in today's terminology. That was Israel, God's chosen people back then. So he says they are rebellious, lying, don't want to hear what the word of God says. And then he goes on and says this, which say to the seers, see not. I know you see something out there. I know you need to prophesy, but don't really see it. See not unto the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, but speak unto us what? Smooth things. Prophesy deceits. What an attitude. What an awful attitude to have. Don't want what God has for them. They want something else. Oh, please don't have that attitude, church. Don't have that attitude. That's the wrong mindset to have. Could it be that what some are hearing from some of our pulpits today is no different from what they hear anywhere else? Could that be a problem? You go to some places. I don't know how many different places you visit around, but some places you go, and you can hear a sermon there. And you can hear that same kind of sermon somewhere else in another church that's not the body of Christ. There's no difference. Brothers and sisters, there needs to be a difference in our teaching. What am I trying to say? I'm saying some will go part of the way, but they won't go all the way. It's like they're afraid to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. We need to go all the way and make sure people know that there's a difference in the Church of Christ in any other church. We need to make sure they know a difference. We must preach Christ and him crucified. We must not be trying to impress people to gain numbers. Yes, the Lord wants numbers, but the Lord wants numbers that obey the truth. You can get a lot of numbers by preaching and teaching anything, but you won't get a lot of faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we must preach the truth and nothing but the truth. Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. He says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or in wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. He says, for I determined not to know anything among you, save or except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And when we get away from the message of Christ, we've gone too far. We got to stay with the message of Christ. And Paul says, I'm not worried about all of this flowery sermon. I'm not worried about that. I'm only worried and concerned about the message of Christ and him crucified. So my point is that we need to have a mindset to hear the word of God. And we need to impress upon people as we teach and as we share the word of God that that's the only mindset that God is pleased with. Therefore, we must also share only the word of God with them. So, these people at the lake or at the Sea of Gennesaret or Galilee had a great mindset. They wanted to hear the word of God. But now to Peter's mindset. After Jesus finished, the Bible says, teaching the people that were there, he now transitions into a valuable lesson to those whom he would call as his disciples. So he teaches a valuable lesson to Peter, to James, and to John. Notice what it says in verse number 4. He says, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Peter was a little reluctant in doing that. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, again, verse 5, And Simon answering, the Bible says, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and we ain't caught anything, and hadn't got a bite. Or if we got one, he jumped off the hook, out of the net. We've been out here all night long and haven't caught anything. But then he says this, nevertheless, at thy word, we'll let down our net. Well, let's notice something about Peter's reluctance there. Evidently, he assumed that he knew better than the Lord. Because, you see, the Lord was the son of a carpenter. And so, no doubt, being a son of the carpenter, the only trade that he would know about would be carpentry. He didn't know anything about fishing in Peter's mind. Peter was the professional. But I want to tell us something, even those who are professionals. People who aren't professionals can tell you something sometimes. So don't discast or discard what somebody else says. Sort of remind me, I heard Brother John Harris tell the story. He says, a crazy man can tell you something. He said, this guy was driving this semi. Brother Williams, if he was here this morning, maybe he would get a chuckle out of this, being a truck driver, talking about the one from California that comes by here. He said, the semi got stuck on an overpass. It just so happened it was near a mental institution. Everybody in there is supposed to be crazy, you see. So he tried and he tried and he walked around the truck and he did this and he did that. Finally, one of the people on the inside yelled out to him and said, sir, all you need to do is let some air out of the tire. Amen. Let the air out of the tire, he went on an overpass. What's the point? The point is that anybody can tell us something. But getting back to the story, evidently Peter assumed that he knew better than the Lord. And so he says, we've been out here all night long, and we haven't caught a thing. But then he says, nevertheless, at your word, we'll let down our net. You see, what the Lord asked him to do perhaps defied common sense. But then he was able to recollect himself. And he says, nevertheless, at thy word, we will let down the net. You see, the word nevertheless is often used as a conjunctive adverb. And it means in spite of that, or nonetheless. In other words, what Peter said was, in spite of the fact that I think I'm a fisherman, in spite of the fact that I think I know more than you know, in spite of the fact, I'm going to do what you said. And that's the attitude that we need to have. You know, sometimes we think we know better than God. That's why sometimes we run ahead of God, because we think we know better than God. We can work this thing out better than God can work it out. But we need to have this mindset, in spite of the fact that I think I know better, I'm going to do what you say, Lord. And you'll see what success we'll have in our lives when we do what the Lord tells us to do. So Peter says, in spite of the fact that I am a fisherman and you just the son of a carpenter, I'm going to do what you says. And when Peter did what the Lord said, he had great success. Notice what the Bible says in verses 5 and 7. The Bible says, and when they had this done, or when they had done what the Lord said, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. So much so, until the Bible says, their what? Net break. And they beckoned unto their partners, James and John, the son of Zebedee. They beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships. So that they began to sink. Do you see what happens when we have the nevertheless mindset? You see what happened there? Peter and his partners had a great success when they did what the Lord said. And if you and I want to have a great spiritual success in our lives, in spite of the fact that we think we know best, if we just do what God says, we'll have a great spiritual success. I'm talking about nevertheless Christians. We need to be nevertheless Christians. And then when Peter saw what happened, he recognized how wrong he had been. Notice what he says. Verse number 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me. Why? For I'm a sinful man, O Lord. He recognized how wrong he had been. And sometimes that's hard for us to recognize. How wrong we have been. Because you see, we always want to be right. But we're not always right. He recognized that he was wrong. And he recognized that even sin was in his life for thinking the way he thought. For assuming again that Jesus couldn't tell him anything. So he said, depart from me. I'm glad the Lord didn't depart from him. But at least he confessed, he recognized that he was wrong. And then the Bible goes on and says, for he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught or at the catch of the fishes which they had taken. And so again, the mindset of nevertheless that was displayed in Peter must be, needs to be displayed in everybody who is a true child of God today. Even when things doesn't seem to make sense in our lives, we need to say, nevertheless, we're going to do what God says. When folks treat you so wrong, just so wrong until you believe and think that there is no worse wrong that could ever be committed against you. And to you and to us, perhaps sometimes in our mind, it defies just common sense to be loving and forgiving toward them. In spite of the fact, remember what nevertheless means? In spite of the fact that we feel that way, we still got to say, nevertheless, at your word, I got to forgive some folks. Because your word says, I got to forgive you. We can't be treated any worse than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Nobody could be treated any worse than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here's a man who was in heaven, disrobed himself and came down to the sin-cursed earth, took on himself the form of a servant. And all he ever did while he was here on earth was good. Can you claim that testimony for yourself? I know I can't. Can you say that as long as you have lived, whether it's 20 years, whether it's 40 years, whether it's 70 years, whether it's 80 years, that as long as you have ever lived, that all you've ever done was good? We can't claim that, can we? Here's a man who lived here on this earth, even though he didn't live to be an old man, but all he ever did was good. But the Bible declares this about him in Acts chapter 10, verse 38 and 39, that this good man, that all he did was ever good, all he did was good. They took him and slew him and hung him on a tree. And he didn't do nothing wrong. But yet, while he was hanging there on that tree, you know what he said. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they did. And so, when I have been mistreated so wrong, until it just seems right to treat somebody the way they've treated me, in spite of how I feel, I must say, nevertheless, at your word, I'm going to forgive. Jesus said this, and you know it so well, in Matthew 5, verse 43. Then the Bible says, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, do what? Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. In spite of the fact that I've heard, speaking in their language in that day and time, that I'm supposed to love my neighbor and hate my enemy, in spite of the fact that that's my mindset now, what you have said, Jesus, in spite of the fact of how I'm thinking, I got to do what you say. Do we have that mindset? Do we truly have that mindset? Well, I tell us, if we don't have that mindset, we're going to have gate problems. We're going to have trouble going through the gate. Because Jesus says, if we don't forgive one another, our Heavenly Father will not forgive us. And nobody can go to heaven not being forgiven. So it behooves us then, if we don't have that mindset, we need to get it today. We need to have that nevertheless mindset that I'm going to forgive those that trespass against me. So when things don't seem to just add up, when things don't seem to make sense, we must have the nevertheless mindset. Even when the Lord asks us to do things that maybe we don't yet understand, you're not a child of God. Haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe somebody have been sharing the word of God with you. And maybe you've been quibbling over the idea as to why you need to be baptized in water for the remission of sins. You may have in your mind said this morning that God can forgive me of my sins if I don't be baptized. Why do I have to be? I don't understand why I have to be. In spite of that fact, you need to have the nevertheless mindset. At your word. And what does his word say in Acts 2 and verse 38? Peter said to those who asked him, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. So you may have the mindset again that I don't need to be baptized. I don't understand why I need to be baptized. Nevertheless, at the Lord's word, you need to do what the Lord says. then somebody says, I don't understand. Why we have to take communion every first day of the week? It's just a common thing. It's not that much. But I want to tell us it's not just a common thing. And it is just that much. So if you have the mindset that you don't need to do that, you need to have the nevertheless mindset at the Lord's word. You're going to do that. Obey the Lord. Oh, yes. Somebody may have said that, I just can't see. I just don't understand. I just can't comprehend how everybody needs to be a member of the same church, and that same church being the Church of Christ. They just may not understand it. You need to have the mindset, nevertheless, at thy word. Because the word of God teaches us that God, before the beginning of time, planned for one church to be in existence. He planned it from the beginning of time, even before the world was founded. He planned one church. And his word says there is one body, Ephesians 4:4. The word says the body is the church. Colossians 1:18, and Ephesians 1:22-23. So if the word says there is one body, one church, then it doesn't matter what you have in your mind. You need to have a nevertheless mindset. In spite of what I believe and what I don't believe, nevertheless, I need to obey the Lord and become a member of the church. For those who are willing to obey the Lord, there are great rewards awaiting on you. Sometimes the devil can get in us, as the old folks used to say, and encourage us and influence us to think, why you keep doing what you do when folks again treat you so bad, when folks again seem to don't appreciate what you do? Why you keep on living right? Why you keep on going? Many times they'll say, why you keep on going to that church? You need to have the nevertheless mindset and know that there are great rewards for those who continue to be faithful and do the will of God. Because Paul says in the word of God, 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore he says, my beloved brethren, be what? Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What we do in the Lord, the kind of life that we live in the Lord, the kind of walk that we walk, the kind of talk that we talk, the good things that we do in the Lord, our obedience to the Lord, is not going for nothing. It's not in vain. So if we just keep on hanging in there, even though outside forces will try to draw us away, we got to say, in spite of that, I'm going to do what the Lord says. We need to be people who have the mindset of nevertheless, at thy word, we're going to obey the Lord. We can look forward to great reward, and that great reward is inheriting the kingdom that was prepared before the foundation of the world. Yes, we may be like Peter, think that we know more than the Lord knows, but we need to have a second thought and say, nevertheless, at your word, we're going to let down the net. We're going to do what you tell us to do. Don't let anybody fool you. We've got to obey the will of God if we want to be saved. And so, just like Peter had to, in a moment, if you will, wrestle with himself in thinking that he had the answers, he had to say, nevertheless, at your word, we're going to let down the net. I'm saying to us this morning, let's be nevertheless Christians. Let's make sure that we strive to live according to the will of God. No matter what we think, no matter what anybody else thinks, let's make sure that we're on the Lord's side and be nevertheless Christians. Nevertheless, we're going to do what the Lord wants us to do. And so I say again as I close this morning, if you are here and have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to realize that God has the answer. You don't have the answer. We don't have the answer. God has the answer. We only take the answer that God has given us. We apply it to our lives, and we encourage you to apply it to your life. So, the Bible says that you need to hear and believe the gospel, Acts 15:7. Somebody might say, well, all you need to do is just put your hand on the radio. In spite of that, nevertheless, at the Lord's word, you need to hear and believe the gospel. Not only that, but you need to repent of your past sins and confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And then be baptized in water for the remission of sins. And when you do that, the Lord will add you to his church. Become a member of his church and live faithfully unto death. There'll be times, yes, when maybe those crazy thoughts might run around in your mind as to why I need to do this, why I need to do that. You need to say like Peter, nevertheless, at thy word or at your word, I'm going to do what you tell me to do, Lord. If you're already a member of the body of Christ, but somehow maybe those crazy thoughts have got a part of your mind, hope and trust that I've said some things this morning that will encourage you to be just like Peter, to have a nevertheless mindset that you're going to do what the Lord says. So if you walked contrary to the will of God, I want to encourage you to repent. If you need to confess, why not do that this morning? Maybe you just need prayers offered on your behalf. Whatever your need is, we encourage you to come. Come right now while we stand.
And